Ruach Adonai Yahuwah is upon me. Because Yahuwah has anointed me to preach the Bessorah unto the meek, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the covering of sight to the blind.
I've got one that can see.
Welcome back. This is Sight to the Blind podcast. I am your host, Larry Johnson. Topic of this conversation is controlled oppositions. A lot of people are insinuating that I'm a controlled opposition because they feel the amount of truth and honesty that I'm putting out, I can't be talking this recklessly and nothing happened to me. I can't be exposing so much information that really, if anybody had YouTube and the internet, that you could find the same things I'm finding out. The truth is going to be exposed anyway. No one's getting killed in these streets over the truth. Some of this truth that I'm sharing with you, they have already been putting it out in movies. You just waking up to it. And the fact that I don't speak in a way that it makes it sound buttery and sugary and sweet, it makes it sound aggressive when I speak. I get that. It makes me sound aggressive. It makes me sound I want a war. Because what you understand from controlled opposition is that people who speak about so much truth and expose so much, they have to be on the inside. They have to be protected. For what? I'm exposing things that I'm getting called out from here to Israel. I'm getting called all types of names. Homophobic, transphobic, anti-Semite. Once you get called an anti-Semite in this matrix, everything about you, you either apologize or you lose your job or you lose access to even share or speak the truth. They ostracize you after that. Just like when Deshaun Jackson posted that quote about Hitler, saying that we are the African Jews and that whole quote. They attacked him. And what he had to do, stand in front of the news media and apologize. When Ice Cube shared all this so-called knowledge that like he was woke, all he did was find memes that everybody else was posting. He posted Egyptian paintings of the Israelites in slavery. Anybody could have found that out. Then he posted a meme of the four black cubes that stretched out all over this world that says Saturn worship. Anybody could have found that out. If you opened your eyes, anybody could have found that out. And he got called anti-Semite for that, which is I don't know how that relates to Jews. I mean, I do. But I don't think people actually, he never made that point. But then he turned around and had to apologize. Nick Cannon used Farrakhan, which is another controlled op. Used Farrakhan to say what we all have been saying. We've all been saying the same thing. That the Israelites are the African Americans in this country. In the Four Corners. We've been saying this. Nick Cannon said it because he said Farrakhan said it. So then Nick loses his show, then turn around, had to do an apology, and then meet with some rabbi of how black entertainment and black Hollywood needs to get together and work out the problem between them and Jews, which it made no sense to me. As if anti-Semitic tropes are just running wild in Hollywood when black folk don't own anything in Hollywood. They don't. They don't control no narratives. They don't control anything as far as what the movies they come out with. And then some of you, talking about controlled ops, some of you listen and repost what RZA Islam says. Who's a member of the Church of Scientology as well, or involved with them. I don't know how you can do Nation of Islam and then do the Church of Scientology. And all he does is say the same thing Farrakhan says. His tag is being anti-Semitic and homophobic and transphobic. He's doing the same thing that Farrakhan is doing, but except Farrakhan is getting older. They need somebody, a younger person who's going to attract a younger crowd. So you got two Nation of Islam and Farrakhan, who all of a sudden have done all through his lifetime, done without being a member of a Greek fraternity. All of a sudden, these last couple of years, he wants to be an Omega Phi Psi. He wants to be a Q dog, an honorary Q dog. I don't know how that relates to Islam, but that's what he is. That's how you know he's a controlled op. They let him spout out all this, which they call anti-Semitic and homophobic. They speaking the same things that's in the Bible speaks about. The Bible says it has quotes, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, and it speaks about homosexuality. But instead of going against the Bible, going against the word, they need an image. I said this before in the last episode. They need to give you an image of somebody on the opposite side who they can hate or who they can love, and then they split you right down the middle. You either on one side or the other side. So they keep them two people going. They keep Rizza Islam going because you've seen him do podcasts and interviews with Sway. I'm not doing podcast interviews with Sway. They're not asking me to do anything. They're not asking for my advice or my words on what any of these situations are because I'm the only one they can't control. That's what a control opposition does. They control you. I am not able to be controlled. You see how reckless I speak on Twitter? You see how reckless I speak when I do the videos on my Instagram? They could never, never pull me aside and say, hey, we want you to come on so you can talk about being an Israelite. They don't have anybody that said they're an Israelite. And that's what I'm claiming to be. I'm waking up to my heritage and my identity. They don't have anybody that is a control op that's an Israelite. Period. Period. You guys follow people whose main religion revolves around a big black stone that everybody kisses, that little part of the stone that's shaped like a yoni, which is really the vagina, and then follow a prophet who's not really a prophet. But in all of his literature, his followers keep explaining to everybody that he's white-skinned or light-skinned. Farrakhan has said this, admits this in one of his speeches.
But he was a white man.
Come on.
Is that a problem? See, it's only a problem if goodness to you is measured by the color of a person's skin. You got a problem. Because he was white-complected. But yet was all of this that the Quran says he was. And there was a black man in Arabia from Ethiopia that heard that he was preaching the oneness of God. He already believed in the oneness of God, but he wanted to meet this man, this light-complected man. They call it fair skin. What the hell is fair about it? See, that's part of the sickness of racism that has infected Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Because if you're light-skinned, you're fair-skinned, does that mean you can be fair in a white skin? Does it mean that you are automatically fair because you have quote-unquote fair skin?
Like he said some words. He literally just did a 360, a false equivalency. He is defending the fact that it was light-skinned Arabs or Arabs in general who called the Prophet Muhammad white. He's blaming Judaism and Christianity, racism in his own religion that Christians didn't write the Quran. Judaism didn't write the Quran. He's trying to cover up the fact that his prophet is described as white. So he's going to blame other religions when these religions are all shuffled under the Roman Catholic Church. It kind of sounds to me like the In Live a Color skit, the jailhouse guy.
Allow me to proctologize myself. Suppositorily speaking, my incarceration has forced, you understand, the ventilation of, shall I say, my dairy air. And upon my discharge, I will ejectutate my mind to the prophylactic of the bowels of society.
The real reason why the Prophet Muhammad chose to worship Allah is because he grew up in a matriarchal society where all the goddesses, the ancient goddesses of that time, far outweighed all the other religions that were popping up. It was really only Christianity that was really patriarchal. So he wanted to combat the goddesses that were popping up all around him and chose the Kaaba stone. It was already there to be worshipped with something else. He took it over, renamed it, and that's why they walk around 7 times in a circle. But they were already doing that. I'm not saying that these people don't speak facts, but what I'm saying is, if you're going to look for real truth and understanding, if you don't want to be managed, controlled, or gatekeeped in your own thoughts, follow where they get these teachings from. The fact that they wear the covering of the women, they got that from Paul. Because Paul said women should be covered all the time. They should cover their hair. Paul said this. They believe in parts of the Bible that predates their religion. I go right to the source. I go right to the Most High myself. I don't go to false preachers that have been set up to control and gatekeep my emotions. And then you guys absorb that foolishness. You absorb all of this back and forth of white supremacy only works when it's defending my race. But I don't look at white supremacy as a whole. I don't look at what's touched white supremacy. And all of these religions have touched white supremacy. Where do you think the KKK got their outfits from? They got it from the Catholic ritual of capote. Look that up. It's the same outfits from that purple to the dragon to the regular basic Klansmen. They got their hoods and that work from the Catholic Church. Christianity comes from the Roman Catholics. Judaism comes from the Roman Catholics. Through Herod, who was an Edomite. I'm going to go through the source. I'm going to go through the Most High myself. If I got to humble myself and get rid of all of my wickedness and get in that prayer closet and cry, beg, spit, roll on the ground. If I got to do that to get understanding and knowledge, I'd rather do that because it's going to come straight from him, nobody else. And I know the Most High isn't one day is going to turn to Prince Hall Freemasonry and put on an Omega Phi Psi jacket in front of all my congregation after I've been gone without it for all these years. I know the Most High is not going to change on me like that. The Most High is not out here doing sway and podcasts with all these famous celebrities, wannabe B-list celebrities. I don't have to worry about the Most High selling bean pies on the highway with a bow tie on. I go through the source. Queen Elizabeth is the 40-something granddaughter of the Prophet Muhammad. The Queen Elizabeth, her lineage is through Edom, Esau. Esau was one of the first members of the Israelite community that started calling his children dukes. If you go through Book of Jasher, when he mates with the Horites, which are troglodytes, cavemen, or cave women, not of the seed of Noah. So you gotta actually wonder, where did these people come from? Because the Horites are not mentioned until Book of Jasher, until Esau mates with them. They come out of nowhere. So if they didn't come from Noah, where did these people come from? Who did they mate with? Did the angels mate with apes? Because they are where the Neanderthals come from. And African Americans and Africans do not have Neanderthal DNA, for one. We have none. So that Rh negative bloodline and all that, that goes right through Esau, goes right through Greece and Rome, into Europe, into those religions. And you guys follow these people and don't think they're controlled oppositions because they spot off some white supremacy nonsense. That's just another system of control that you guys are not understanding. I don't speak on white supremacy. That's probably why I'm not a control op. I don't speak on white supremacy because I know it's a ghost. It's the boogeyman. I know from 1619 to 2005 or 6, we were going through curses. So that means when the Most High say in Deuteronomy, I'm going to let your enemies do this to you, and I'm going to see what your end will be after these curses is over, and then I'm going to bring you back home. If you guys actually read Deuteronomy, it would wipe white supremacy out of your brain. It would no longer utter out of your mouth. Because what you guys want is a way to feel like a victim. You want victimhood. And that's not what I do on this podcast. Y'all want to follow podcasts that all they want to do is point fingers at what white people do and what white people are allowed to do and why we can't do what white people do. And I keep telling you, you are not set up to do what they do. You're not set up to do what any other nation does until you understand that you are supposed to be doing these laws, statutes, commandments more than any other nation. Then you will know peace and know where you need to be in this lifetime. But some of you want this mystical white supremacy ghost to be at blame for what your actions have caused. So I'm going to put on Kendall Qualls. It's a great speech. I think you should hear the whole of it, but I'm going to give you 6 minutes of Kendall Qualls' speech on white supremacy.
Kendall Qualls is the president of Take Charge. Take Charge strives to unite Americans, regardless of background, toward a shared history and common set of beliefs. Before founding Take Charge, Kendall spent 27 years in the healthcare industry, leading commercial teams, rising to the position of global VP of marketing. He spent the last 15 years of his career specializing in reviving stagnant or declining business units. Prior to his professional career, Kendall served in the U.S. Army, serving stateside as well as in South Korea on the DMZ. Kendall earned 3 graduate degrees, but most important to him is his family. He and his wife, Sheila, have been married for 35 years, and they have 5 children together. He serves on the board for Lundstrom's Performing Arts Center in North Minneapolis, as well as Hope Farm School, a school for at-risk boys from Minneapolis. Please join me in welcoming Kendall Qualls.
And so, you know what? We're living in some crazy times, and it reminds me of a novel by British author Charles Dickens. In The Tale of Two Cities, he wrote, "These are the best of times, these are the worst of times. This is the age of wisdom and the age of foolishness." You know, in some respects, I feel like we're living through that today. We're bombarded with messages that the country is overflowing with white supremacy, systemic racism, and even now, the National Foundation on Family Relations has coined the two-parent family as an extension of white privilege. It would be a surprise to many people that we're actually living in the least racist period in our country's history. But if you listen exclusively to news media, the entertainment industry, and what I like to call the academic industrial complex, you would never know the real truth. That this is the least racist period in our country's history, in one of the least racist countries in the world. So, having lived through the Jim Crow South, my parents and grandparents would have loved to have grown up in the America that I grew up in. Tonight's theme of envisioning a post-racial America may seem kind of a bold and provocative statement, especially in today's environment, but it shouldn't be a surprise. That's because the vast majority of Americans have been operating in that mode for quite a long time. You know, they've been treating people with respect, dignity, compassion, regardless of race. Yeah, they have the audacity to treat people by the character and not the color of their skin. You know, you can pass a law for me to walk into the front door of this hotel, reserve a room, all that. But you can't pass a law that forces people to open their hearts and homes for someone that doesn't look like them. But you know, that's exactly what America has been doing for many, many years. They've been opening their hearts and homes. So how do we explain the differences on the realities on the ground with what we hear in the media? Well, I'm going to use my family. It's a classic example of the best of times and the worst of times, and the disparity between reality and rhetoric. So my adult children have a normal life growing up in a two-parent family. They had their challenges, but they also had stability, unconditional love, and clear boundaries. And I'll use one of my children as an example of this. My son Joshua, he graduated from St. Olaf College in 2019. He moved out a week later, started his job in Austin, Texas, 2 weeks after that, and they got married 2 weeks after that. All of this in 35 days. The newlyweds have been married now for 2 years, and they now have an 8-week-old little puppy. My wife Sheila and I, we're very proud of Josh and the rest of our 4 children. But now here's the contrast. Among their 15 cousins on my side of the family, so my nieces and nephews, my children are the only ones to grow up with both a mother and a father in the home. Half their cousins have never finished high school. None have gone on to college. Half my nephews have been incarcerated. My nieces are mothers of children, having never been married. So how do we explain these differences? Was it systemic racism built into American society, or was it something else? Well, here you have two tales from the same family, same skin color, yet the disparities are quite broad. You know, on the day that Martin Luther King was assassinated, I was 5 years old. And at that time, nearly 80% of black children were born in two-parent families. In my lifetime, we have seen the black community transformed from 80% two-parent families to 80% fatherless homes without one national initiative to reverse the trend. If the American black family was a spotted owl or gray wolf, it would be on the endangered species list. There would be a national campaign that said, save the black family. There'd be galas, commercials, bumper stickers, and a bumper sticker would say, save the black family, right next to another one that said, free Tibet. My friends, what has happened in the black community is nothing short of a cultural genocide.
Cultural genocide. Now, when you say culture, what do you think our culture is? We think hip-hop is our culture. We think rap is our culture. We think the images that are placed in front of us of foolishness and wickedness is our culture. So we're defending our own ignorance. This has nothing to do with white folk. Well, at the top of the top of the top of the pyramid, yeah, it's somebody white there who owns the record labels, that own the entertainment industry, that's running Hollywood. Yeah, okay. But we are explaining and exposing to you who these puppets are. You're deciding, no one else. White folk is not taking a gun and putting it to your head and say, hey, be like this rapper. Be like this singer. Be like Cardi B. Be like Travis Scott. They're not doing that. There is no one white with a gun in their hand or have heard y'all into a movie theater by gunpoint and said, watch all these films and be just like this. No one's doing that. So you really have to look at yourself. Look at the structure of your own family. It starts with the black woman. Okay, if it all starts with the black woman, then why is it there any two-parent households like it used to be in the times where slavery was still rampant? In the 1600s, black women were still marrying black men. Families were still sticking together because they knew that's all they had. We get out of slavery and the whole structure falls. Why? Because we stop picking our men based on righteousness. We stop picking our men based on certain traits of that of we finding out that man is going to actually stick by me and raise these kids together. We can't blame everything on the cocaine 80s, the 1994 crime bill. We can't keep using these excuses. This should be a time that we should be waking up and coming back together to each other. And what he means by the academic industrial complex, I know he means the Boulé, the HBCUs standouts. The Democratic Party is filled with them. If you go down the top politicians that you see in media talking, from Karen Bass, Stacey Abrams, Raphael Warnock, Colin Kaepernick, Keisha Lance Bottoms, Bakari Sellers, all of these politicians on all of these so-called woke social movements are headed by people who are in Greek fraternity, Greek sororities. And then now if you trace the lineage, it goes past black folk. None of these sororities and Greeks and these fraternities are actually black owned. That means you have to want, in your time in college, you have to want to sign up to be in a secret society. It's not really secret. Be in a society that dehumanizes you as a rite of passage. Then get told by Freemasons, which are completely white, by Freemasons what to do. And it all follows some weird Egyptian mystical schools that none of us should even be a part of, because that's how we got destroyed in the first place. You have to decide. See, this is the thing about being an American and wanting to be in this entertainment industry. If you ever notice, all these rappers are getting sacrificed and they barely have 3 or 4 albums out. If you understand this, if you understand the sacrifice and the rituals that go on, black people are dying at a faster rate than white actors, white musicians. They're not getting sacrificed at the same rate as black people, because the Most High don't want you in a part of this society. Doesn't want you to be rappers. Doesn't want you to be football players. Do not want you to be actresses and singers. He doesn't want no part. He don't want you in this, because he's about to judge this place. That's why he doesn't. You understand how the Most High really thinks? He don't care for everybody. He says it. His prophets say it. His prophets say, for other nations, you regard them as spit, a drop in a bucket, counted as nothing but vanity. If you understand those verses, if you look those verses up and actually understood who are they actually talking about, the other nations, you would no longer be talking about white supremacy this and they holding us back with systematic racism. If you understand the Most High don't want you a part of this Babylonian society, you look at it as, oh, they're trying to hold me back because it's the white man. No. The Most High said, I'm going to judge this place, my child. I do not want you part of this. I want to bring you back home. But first, I got to remove all the wickedness that you have adapted, that you have called your culture, that you have called your own. I want to pull you out of this. If I got to do a kicking and screaming, I got to pull you out of this. And that's what he's doing to some of you. But some of you are fighting, trying to fight this system, trying to fight this matrix using the techniques and tactics that have never worked in this country. You are a controlled opposition. Instead of thinking I am, you are a controlled opposition. Every time you go do what Black Lives Matter say do, every time you go protest or tear up a city block, anytime you boycott for 2 days, anytime you go out and tweet and hashtag and put that stupid black square that everybody started doing, the moment you did that, you become a controlled opposition, because they know that that's all they're going to let you do. Like I said before, if it actually made a difference, they wouldn't let you do it. They would have shut the Instagram. They would shut social media down. They would actually put in armed guards in every city if they knew that would make a difference, that they would change laws based on you tearing up a city block. That's not how this system operates. So you become a controlled opposition yourself, because you do everything they tell you to do. They know every time they put a black body in the street that's been killed by police, they know to the T how you are going to react because they've seen you react that way before. They know how you are going to react because you react the same way you acted in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And we still haven't gotten any laws, even though we have had black politicians in office since the 1800s. We've been having black politicians in office and nothing has changed. They have not helped you. They have done nothing for you. And until you understand whose laws you need to be following, you are always going to be a controlled opposition in this country because you are trying to use what they allow you to use to try to make a difference. And you have made no difference, not for yourselves and not for your community and not for the black nation or black America. You haven't. You can whine about it. You can compare Rittenhouse to whatever black person have went through travesty in this country. You could do this all day long. You could put Emmett Till versus Rittenhouse all day long. They want you to do that. They want you to be upset. They want you to find no peace. They want you always wanting and yearning for a little bit of respect, a little bit of equal footing to be recognized as one of them. And I'm telling you, that's not how white supremacy works. It never worked that way anyway. All you guys are doing is making up foolish arguments and arguing with each other, trying to feel good on social media for 2 or 3 days, trying to find your spiritual wokeness a little bit, and then that runs out, and then you got to find something else to compare it to, a false equivalency that you can compare it to make yourself feel good in front of everybody else that you more woke than everybody else. So you repost all these control oppositions doing nothing. You're really doing nothing. And this is what makes it hard for me to digest this whole I'm a control op. It's because you guys go through my Instagram feed and pulled out that I eat pizza. That I'm sitting on a pizza towel. That I went to Milan, Italy. If you're gonna go where pizza started from, I'm gonna go to Milan, Italy to eat pizza. But somehow that's confusing my work to all of a sudden now I'm a sex trafficking pedophile because I like to post with pizza. At the time where I wasn't even really woke as much as I am, that means my learning capabilities exceeded my spirit. So when I found out what Pizzagate and Comet Ping Pong Pizza and all that nonsense, when I found out what they were really doing and what these celebrities were doing, I had stopped posting one of the favorite foods that I like to post. I had to stop doing that because for some reason, when you post, anybody posting picture that's in the truth, all of a sudden, pedophiles and sex traffickers in D.C. have a complete lock on the image of pizza all of a sudden. And the fact that I have never taken oaths, I'm not part of a Greek fraternity, I'm not really a celebrity, never have been, I've just been close to celebrities, but I don't call myself a celebrity. Which, those are things that you need to actually think I'm a part of that. And you never heard my name being mentioned in anything that's regarding pedophilia. But somehow, all of the work that I have done for 2 to 3 years, you see a couple of pictures of me sitting on a pizza towel and eat pizza and take a picture with a pizza plush toy. All my truth goes all out the window. All the videos I've done, all the harshness and the rawness of the truth that I speak and things that I expose, that all that goes all out the window because I posted with pictures and now I'm a pedophile because of that? Come on. Some of y'all don't have discernment or some of y'all just jealous. I'm not talking to you, but there's people out there who keep trying to use my pizza pictures to dethrone what I say. That's supposed to change the truth. That's supposed to change how I work. People do the same thing that Jezebel did. When Jezebel knew she was going to die, she decked her hair out. She got cute. She put makeup on. When Yahoo was coming down and saw her, the first thing she did was accuse him of what he'd done. Accused him of slaying his master. Yahoo didn't even pay her any attention. He told the eunuchs to throw her out of the window. Whoever's with me, throw her out of that window. And they picked her up, threw her out of that window. That's what you have to be to be in this truth, this walk. Now, what they usually do with a control op, they make you feel sad and make you feel humiliated and make you feel embarrassed by putting your past, which they did, they put my past on Shade Room. And they thought that I'm supposed to shut up after that. That, oh, I've got embarrassed by a black social media website. I'm supposed to shut up after that. And I didn't shut up after that. Control ops see that and be like, oh, I'm so sorry, my beautiful black queen of my queen of wickedness. I'm so sorry that I ever said anything truthful about you not really getting shot in your foot and all that. And what I said about you and Tory Lanez and Demon Time, like I'm supposed to take all of that back and apologize and put her on top, put her on a pedestal. That's what control oppositions are supposed to do. They don't just keep going. And I kept going. I laughed that off. I'm like, she still didn't get shot. And y'all and everybody else believed her. And they try to come after me using my past that had nothing to do with her getting shot in the foot. It wasn't like I was trying to date her. I didn't say, oh, pick me over Tory Lanez. So they put up my domestic violence and my mugshot in Vegas. They put that up as like it was supposed to mean something. That was supposed to shut me up. Control oppositions are made to shut up when that type of embarrassment happens. I'm a control op because I'm posting with pizza. All of a sudden, I'm Pizzagate because I post with pizza. All of a sudden, pedophiles own the rights to pizza now. Y'all need to start using a little bit of discernment or learn how to keep your mouth shut. Regardless if I was next to celebrities or not, they're not doing none of that because I'm following these laws, statutes, commandments. I'm fortified in this walk. I don't need to keep posting biblical quotes to make myself feel good, to let everybody know I'm practicing my self-righteousness on everybody else. I barely post biblical quotes. The conversations that me and the Most High are remain private. I go to war a different way. I'm not trying to be famous off this podcast. I'm not trying to be famous off my Instagram post. I would rather just you put these celebrities on a football field and let me go to war with them. I would rather do that than talking all the time or finding videos and movies to get my point across. And then people tell me I'm a controller. I'd rather just watch me put these people on a football field and let me go at them. And trust me, you wouldn't be calling me no controller after you see what I do to them. Talking is the last thing I really want to do. But you guys are locked in this system where you think systematic racism exists. It don't exist. It exists in like, what, 2%, 3% of this world? Saying white supremacy exists is like you wanting to be in that arena. You wanting to be somewhere that you're not supposed to be. You know what white supremacy really is? It's those secret societies. That means you have to literally break your neck, kill somebody, whore yourself out, get into some gay ritual, do all this stuff on a periodic basis to even be in that world. And that's what these Democratic politicians do. They join Greek fraternities to do all this dehumanizing behavior that our ancestors went through. They do all of that. Crossing the sands is what they call it. All this other nonsense that they do. Spitting egg yolk in each other's mouths, pulling their pants down and let another grown man spank them with a paddle. They do that stuff in slavery, y'all. And you're counting on these people to do this dehumanizing hazing in college and then be adults and then try to act like there's white supremacy everywhere when they're the ones that's upholding it. You turn yourself into a controlled op listening to them because they're gatekeeping your emotions. You react how they want you to react. They rephrase sentences, they rephrase events. You guys don't even research anything. Y'all go for everything off emotion, not logic, emotion. Every time Cori Bush opens her mouth, every time any other celebrity or any other person that's tied to a secret society, either a prince or a Freemason or a Greek fraternity, they do the same. All they do is gaslight you to go do nothing, to go talk about nothing. You guys run to social media, Instagram, post all this stuff about what white folk be doing and all that, and y'all not even doing nothing about it. I can show you how you can do more damage to this so-called white supremacy ghost than you could ever done in the 60s, 50s, 40s, and 30s. Coming back to these law, statutes, commands, walking righteously and walking upright, and I bet you can make this system bend to your will. Bend to your will. If you read some of the scriptures of when the Israelites went to war, the Most High would usually tell them, this is who I want you to go, and this is how many people I'm allowing you to go. I'm allowing you to take this many people into battle because I'm going to give them over to you. If you go through Book of Joshua, if you go through, like I said, Jasher, it's littered with the Most High saying, I'm going to give these people into your hands to do whatever you want with them. When Saul, in the Book of Samuel, when Saul became king and he was supposed to kill a member of the Amalekites and he didn't, the Most High stripped him down because when the Most High said, I want you to remove the seed from off the earth. And when Saul didn't do that, a member of the Amalekites ended up in Babylon. And that's when you get the Book of Esther. The Book of Esther would never happen. The Book of Esther would never happen if Saul killed the member of the Amalekites, because that descendant of the Amalekites wanted to eradicate all the Israelites when Esther was in Media, she was in Persia, which is, you know, biblically is right next to Babylon. When they went to enslaved in Persia, Esther had to save them because the member of the Amalekites wanted to kill all the Israelites and tried to use the Persian king to do it. But the Persian king fell in love with Esther and she was able to persuade him. And then that person, that member of the Amalekites, ended up losing him and his family, ended up getting hung or whatever. They got destroyed and got killed. And the Israelites were saved. But that's what I mean. If you understood the laws, the statutes, the commandments, and who the scriptures are about, you could start using your power. Instead of going to go into their space, you can bring them into yours as servants. That's with anybody. I'm not talking just for black folk. I'm talking about anybody. Anybody who wants to walk righteously. I'm talking about, this is for all races. Anybody who wants to walk righteously, you do not have to be always troubled by your enemies. I don't know where you guys get this Christian turn the other cheek. I'm telling you, if you read Psalms, if you read what David said, David came out saying, I hated this person because they offended the Most High. I had a righteous hatred against these people. Abraham, Jacob, his sons, none of these people turned the other cheek when they saw their enemies. They prayed to the Most High. The Most High delivered them to them to do whatever they want. And that's how all of this is going to play out. It is. This is how all of this is going to play out. You think protesting in the street, boycotting and posting white supremacy quotes and white supremacy from all these people who are connected to worshiping either white gods or a stone, you guys calling everybody else control opposition instead of the real opposition. Candace Owens is a perfect example of a controlled opposition. She says some factual things. She says some right things, but what do they do? You know how they get at you? They put her in a hip-hop environment knowing real well that she will be exposed and y'all would discredit everything she says and everything she talks about because she makes it seem like she's for a Republican Party. She makes it seem like she's conservative, make it seem like she's from Trump, and everybody think Trump is a real racist, where that's a lie. The mainstream media told you that lie and you guys went with it. So you discredit everything she says. She said a lot of great things about the Democratic Party being a party of the ones that enslaved your ancestors, the Dixiecrats, which is what I told you. But you had T.I. up there. You have ignorant people from our community, from our race, that told to defend you. And what you guys do is defend T.I. over somebody who's actually smart. So that means you already accept the fact that you're willfully ignorant and willfully stupid, that you don't compare with a Candace Owens because you think she's a sellout coon. And then you ride with somebody who's even more stupid, that he had to be a Prince Hall Freemason to even be accepted on that stage, accepted on that platform. And that's what they do. That's what all of these high school dropouts, drug dealers, turn rappers and rap moguls all of a sudden. They can't be a rap mogul if they don't go through Prince Hall Freemasonry. I'm telling you this right now. Rick Ross, all these rappers who talk about slanging dope and shooting other black men, all this nonsense they talk about, they have to somehow funnel themselves into a secret society in Freemasonry, Prince Hall Freemasonry, where they're subservient to the white Freemasons. I'm sorry, if white folks listen to me, it's true. White folk own the Freemasonry, and it goes, white folk own Jesuits. I don't know any black Jesuits, and I don't know any black Freemasons that's our York or Scottish Rite. It just don't happen. That's why they make them go into Prince Hall Freemasonry. So you being subservient yourself, worshiping these people, making yourself slaves, making yourself control oppositions. We have to wake up out of that and stop blaming white folk for every little thing that we are going through. Right now, white folk shouldn't even be the topic of conversation, anything in your life. It should be these law, statute, commandments, because it'll save you from even encountering police, encountering race, real racism. Everybody's going under the knife. Everybody, it's not just us that they want to get vaccinated. It's, they want to get everybody vaccinated. At this point, they used to say black folk are three times more likely. They stopped saying that now because they knew it didn't work. It getting exposed. It didn't work. Joe Biden, oh, you ain't vote for me. It doesn't work anymore. The people y'all thought was going to save you in this presidential administration ain't saving you. They literally just showed you that the first couple of months. And the executive orders, you wouldn't get no executive order. Some of y'all should be embarrassed. I get it. You don't want to say it, but you should be embarrassed. Because everybody told you, some of us told you that you weren't going to be saved. And some of us knew that because we read scripture. We read scripture. Some of you trying to not read the Bible because you think it has all these rules in it. It don't. It has just a way of life. If you read that scripture like you read a book about somebody's family and like, man, they messed up when they didn't do this. They messed up when they did this. If you learn how to navigate your life through these stories, which is these stories still happen today. People still worshiping idols. This is 2021. None of us ever thought that we would read an email from Hillary Clinton that said that she was worshiping Moloch. We thought this was like in Canaanite days. Thousands of years ago, people are still worshiping it. People still worship African spirituality, that Kemet stuff, Egyptians, Pharaoh stuff. People still worship that and think that's real. Why? Because it doesn't have any rules. The rules are you do whatever you want. If you think you're a god, be a god. But it's funny how you think you're going to be a god and then you can't go to the grocery store because you don't got a vaccination card. That ain't very godlike. Some of you can't walk outside without a wig. That ain't really godlike or goddess-like. We have to be real with ourselves here. No one's holding you back. No one's holding us back but ourselves. We keep clinging to the 2% population of black folk they keep putting in front of us. We are looking at the bottom of the barrel as our mainstream image of culture that we are supposed to adapt to. Come on. I'm mad I wasted 40 minutes explaining what a controlled opposition is. But now you know. Jennifer and James Crumbly were arrested Saturday morning. And I told people on Instagram, at 2LarryJohnson7, that it was a gematria code, that it was managed, that all of this is staged. This is all a smokescreen to get you away from the Maxwell trial. Pedophiles are the most protected class in this country. Why? Because everybody from the guy that works at 7-Eleven to all the way up to presidents can get involved with sex trafficking and child trafficking of children. Social services, CPS, Child Protective Services are all involved with trafficking of children for money. When they give kids into foster care, the people who manage the house, people that manage foster care children get money. This is a time where a lot of seedy and disgusting things happen to children in this generation. We keep thinking everybody operates with the same heart and spirit as we do because we are wholesome or righteous or good-hearted. We expect everybody else to do the same. And you have to understand, you don't understand how evil can be and how good is good at being evil. It's sneaky. It's sly. It'll even present itself for where you love what evil can do. Or how good it hides itself. Because a lot of you are out there hiding your evil. Covering it up. You're evil. The society is only reflecting of leadership. So if the leadership is promoting pedophilia, what do you think everything else that's going to fall under it is going to protect to make it seem it's righteous, masquerading as angels of light? And we are supposed to believe that Jennifer and James Crumbly are the most dangerous parents, the most dangerous people than Ghislaine Maxwell. That is why they pumping this story longer than it needs to be pumped. Yes, it's sad children got shot and killed. But they make it seem like Jennifer and James led Ethan into the school and helped him reload the clip. Helped him point out students to kill. You have to really step back and really question if Jennifer and James is even their real names. If Ethan Crumbly is really his real name. Where are the high school students that supposedly know him? Where's his classmates? You trying to tell me that they didn't know this kid? No one knows this kid before this period in time. No one knew him in fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade. No one knew this kid. All of a sudden now he just posted a video before going in and having this weird countdown. Even his social media handles aren't really adding up either. They have the same code in them too. His followers, his followed, his post, all have the same kind of Gematria code. If you go to GematriaNator.com, type in Jennifer and James, you get the same prime numbers, 3366. If you type in Jennifer and James Crumbly, you still get the same coding, 3366. How do we know that's even their real names? We trust mainstream media to tell us the facts while they're still telling us there's a fiery planet in our orbit called the Hell Planet. They still tell us that asteroids are flying around Earth and one could impact us like Armageddon, that they have to send a satellite to knock it off its orbital path so it won't hit Earth. They still tell us this in mainstream media. Anything NASA does, anything that Blue Origin does, Bezos company, anything that they do, they still promote that as truth. So all of a sudden, we're supposed to believe truthfully that Jennifer and James Crumbly are the most dangerous people compared to Ghislaine Maxwell. And they're only covering Ghislaine's trial up because facts are leaking out. Like the one about Anthony Fauci's relative that just so happens to be married to the attorney who set up a private LLC called Granite Realty, which Maxwell had a house in New Hampshire that it was paid for after she left. It used to be owned by Scott Bergeron, Bergeron, and Roberts, who is the husband of Cara Fauci, related to Anthony Fauci, was the registered agent for the LLC. I mean, it's a beautiful place. It's a $1 million luxury hideout. It's in the middle of nowhere. And guess what the address is? 338 Washington something something something. But it's the still same numbers. This is how these people move. They move through numbers. They move through math. Why? Because it's the easiest language to hide. They don't really teach that to you in school. They don't teach gematria in school. They teach you algebra. They teach you trigonometry. They teach you calculus. They teach you numbers that confuse your brain so you think, oh, I don't never need to learn. I don't have to learn these codes. I don't use these in real life. And then they turn around behind your back and use them in real life. They may not do division and trigonometry. But it's simple adding and subtracting. That's all it is, adding and subtracting. Using certain dates to put forth a spell, put forth a narrative, put forth a managed situation so they can hide more foolishness under it, more wickedness under it. It's very simple to detect. Like I said, I'm not asking you to go 1,000 years away. You can just use the information at hand and plug it into the GematriaNator.com. And just see what you get. It's a fun site to play with. I was amazed at certain things, at certain phrases that would come up that correlated to every incident that I've investigated. They count on you guys to not investigate nothing, to see everything from the surface level. That's why I used to get annoyed when people would make comments in the comments, say, oh, it's so stupid. How? What? It's just a shirt, or it's just a sweater, or it's just the color. That's what they want you to say. They want you to say it's just the color and just the number. Because this is where they talk the most. They hide it right in front of your face. And then they laugh behind your back and say, these people are so stupid. We keep using 666 and different variations of 3, 6, and 11. And they still haven't caught on yet. We basically put all of our to-do list on social media, on the internet. And these people still haven't gotten it together and found a way to come together and go against us and come out of this system. Every story they come back with mainstream media is always, these people in QAnon are stupid. Oh, it's a child trafficking, sex trafficking cabal that QAnon thinks the Democratic Party run. It ain't just a Democrat, it's both parties. They just hide it under the Democratic Party, but they're both a part of it. Yes, there's been some warriors like Nancy Schaefer. There's been some warriors now that exposed what pedophilia and child trafficking is in this country. There's been people that come out and talk, and they paid for it with their lives. But all of this is a smokescreen to get you away from the Ghislaine Maxwell case, because they knew truth and information is going to somehow stumble. It's going to fall out, and people who really going to do the due diligence and look up these things are going to expose it for what it is, and they can't control that part of it. I would just say be careful out there too this holiday season. Increasingly going into, you know, Roman festivals and feasts like Saturnalia. That's where Christmas truly comes from. Saturnalia, where from December 17th to January was a long feast where crime was legal. That's where the Purge comes from. That's where all those Purge movies come from. That's what the Saturnalia was. It's from December. And all they did with crime was legal. So it shouldn't be any surprise to any of you that these smashing grabs and all this violence of shooting, killing people in random sites and drive-by shootings at, you know, outside of parties and house parties, you shouldn't be surprised if you hear more of that in these storylines. Because everybody operates under Rome and Greece. That energy is on top of America. Look at all the buildings in D.C. Capitol. It's just like Rome. It's just like Greece. It's just like London, Britain. And like I said before, it's Edom. They did the same architecture that they did when they first left out of the cave in Petra, which is the Edomite stronghold. It was a cave. It looks exactly, the buildings look exactly like the Capitol building, except it was dug into like a wall, a cliff, a cave. Same architecture, columns. The pyramid arch type, it's the same. It's been the same. They haven't changed anything. So we really thinking like the 21st century, that we really believe that we're more advanced as the human race. And we still decorate and do everything that ancient Rome and ancient Greece do, all the way down to the sexual practices. And even further back into Egypt. But this is what Saturnalia was. It was a festival where everybody got drunk, everybody got wild, everybody got violent, and you could do whatever you want. The slaves could pretend to be the masters. The masters could pretend to be the slaves. And everybody had a good time. But this is what this world has come to. It's all of it's coming down to different levels of different parts of ancient culture that's going right into the days of Noah. The Most High has already said this. He's already prophesied that the end was coming. He was tired of this earth because of the things that came into this world. The devices, the wickedness, what men choose to do with creation, polluted, corrupted, the same thing they did in the days of Noah. So how do we are that more advanced as human nature? We're not. We just as basic as dogs when it comes to human nature. If man looks to pollute something, that man will pollute it. Man has always wanted to play God since Cain. And those bloodlines still matter today. There's people still worshiping the seed of Cain or still part of the bloodline of Cain. You sit up there, oh, it's not true. Like, we should be judged for what we do. We shouldn't be punished for the things we've done now. But look at the things we've done now. We still do the same things they done back then. Women still hearken to the serpent. This ain't new. Ever since Eve. Women still hearken to the serpent. Why do you think Satan goes after women harder than he goes after men? Because in order to destroy men, you have to get to the woman first. It was the woman, it was Eve, who saw the tree and marveled at it. Just like women want to rule now. I saw a funny quote saying the black man that white, quote unquote, white supremacy wants is the masculine black woman. I mean, it's true. Look how upside down these households are. Look how destroyed the nucleus of the family is. This is not all because we want to be who we are. We're coming into this new age spiritualism where everybody can be a god and do whatever they want. Yeah, but you're doing it based on their expectations of what they want the black family to be, or what they want the white family to be, or what they want the Latin and Asian families to be. There's certain family structures that they don't go after in this country. They really don't. Not as hard as they go after the black family nucleus. And now let me leave you with this. Fourth book of Ezra, chapter 15, verse 3 on down, the Sefer. Fear not the imaginations against you. Let not the incredulity of them trouble you that speak against you. For all the unfaithful shall die in their unfaithfulness. Behold, says Yahuwah, I will bring plagues upon the world, the sword, famine, death, and destruction. For wickedness has exceedingly polluted the whole earth, and their hurtful works are fulfilled. I will hold my tongue no more as touching their wickedness, which they profanely commit. Neither will I suffer them in those things in which they wickedly exercise themselves. Behold, the innocent and righteous blood cries unto me, and the souls of the just complain continually. And therefore, says Yahuwah, I will surely avenge them, and receive unto me all the innocent blood from among them. Behold, my people is led as a flock to the slaughter. I will not suffer them now to dwell in the land of Mitzrayim, America. I will bring them with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm and smite Mitzrayim, America, with plagues as before, and will destroy all the land thereof. Mitzrayim shall mourn America, and the foundation of it shall be smitten with the plague and punishment that Elohim shall bring upon it.